Next item on the agenda is item number five, Potomac Timber Investments, number 227 LLC, project number 08-1123. Mr. Nykerk.
Commissioner Bowman.
Good to have you here, sir.
There we go. Potomac Timber Investments, 227 LLC, is requesting authorization to redevelop the Urbana Yachting Center Marina at their property situated along Urbana Creek at 15 Watling Street in the town of Urbana. Proposed redevelopment includes the demolition of the northern boathouse and the demolition of most of the southern boathouse, as well as most of the existing open pile piers. A total of 139 boat slips are proposed to exist at the marina after completion of the renovations. Project is protested by numerous residents. The Urbana Yachting Center Marina is located along the west side of Urbana Creek in the town of Urbana. This here is Urbana Creek, Rappahannock River, Middlesex County. Closer view of the topographic map. Development along the creek includes a mixture of residential and commercial properties. The waterfront in the town of Urbana is primarily commercial, and there are marinas on both sides of the Urbana Yachting Center. This is the NOAA navigational chart. Project location is highlighted by the red arrow. This dashed line represents the Urbana Creek Federal Project Channel. This is an aerial photograph from the 2007 Vigen series that we use. Project location is right here. Town of Urbana. This is the Urbana Bridge Marina here. This here. Port Urbana facility owned by Mr. Dozier. This is the site of the old Rose Gill Granary. It's now a mixed-use development. And this is the Towns Marina here, and you've seen the Rose Gill, or the Urbana Yachting, Urbana Yacht Club, Harbor Yacht Club facility here. And this is the site of the new Rose Gill development. Closer view of the same aerial photo. Approximate limits of the property are like this. It includes a portion of this boathouse. It goes right to the break in the two boathouses here, on out around. The narrow upland parcel encompasses only 1.41 acres, but it possesses 870 linear feet of shoreline. The marina currently has 86 slips. In 2006, however, the commission issued the previous owner of the marina a permit authorizing the redevelopment and expansion of the marina to a total of, I calculated, 102 slips. Mr. Watson questioned that this morning, and it could easily be my math. It might be as many as 109. That permit was transferred to Potomac Timber Investments, and it remains valid. The current application seeks authorization to further expand the facility to a total of 139 slips. This is the current plan view. The proposed redevelopment includes the demolition of the northern 10-slip boathouse, which is located over here, and a replacement with 8 open slips. The partial demolition of the southern boathouse, which is located here, this portion is to remain. Those 6 slips and the existing bathroom facilities are proposed to remain enclosed. And the demolition of all but 6 of the existing fixed slips. These 6 slips here would remain. The existing open pile piers would be removed and replaced with these floating piers to create a total of 139 slips at the facility. They intend to keep a travel lift facility, which is located down on this end. The slips are in varying sizes, and some are designed to moor vessels up to 60 feet in length. 263 linear feet of bulkhead are also proposed to be replaced within 2 feet of the existing bulkhead. In addition to the marina redevelopment, the applicants are seeking authorization from the town to demolish the existing office and store building and construct 14 elevated condominium units and a 3,200-square-foot bathhouse and manager's office facility. The development of the condominiums is currently in litigation. Let me back up 1 second here to show you something. These dashed lines on here represent the encroachment of the piers that were authorized by the permit that was issued in 2006. That's the limits of those piers. This image was produced by the applicants. The proposed dock configuration has changed some since this was prepared, but it still shows the general layout of the marina and proposed condominiums. The project is protested by numerous town and county residents. We received 33 individual letters of objection, as well as a petition signed by 308 individuals claiming to be residents of the town of Urbana. Their concerns are primarily related to the size of the proposed expansion and its effect on navigation, boating safety, and other uses of the creek. Some expressed environmental concerns associated with the additional boat slips, and others expressed aesthetic concerns associated with tearing down the old boathouses. Mr. Jack Dozier, the owner of the adjoining Port Urbana Yachting Center Marina, believes that the proposed F dock, which is this dock here, will interfere with access to his marina, and this is his marina over here. Christchurch School has also expressed a concern that the proposed piers would interfere with their crew team's regular training conducted within Urbana Creek. On this image, I've attempted to show the relative location of the proposed piers. I did note that this main stem would actually be located slightly over here, but the actual encroachment is pretty close on that. In green, the green circle here is green day mark number 11. I've got a more clear and more detailed overlay that I'll show in a minute. Mr. Filling, the Chief Administrative Officer and Zoning Administrator of the Town of Urbana, submitted two letters expressing opposition to the proposal. One of the letters indicates it was written on behalf of the Mayor, Town Council, and citizens of Urbana. In that letter, he notes that the parcel is only about 1.4 acres and currently includes two boathouses, a multi-purpose building, and a travel lift. He states the marina at the proposed size would negatively impact the surrounding neighborhood and add congestion to the street. He notes that parking is limited. He also states that the piers will impede boat traffic, interfere with access to the adjoining marinas, and add congestion within the creek in the area of the town. Finally, he claims that the town of Urbana has concurrent jurisdiction to the center of the creek and that they request that the application be denied or modified to allow a maximum number of 78 slips. This is a copy of the site plan for the development. Proposed condominiums are in the darker gray. Marina store and bathhouse facility. Parking slips. This is the existing travel lift here. We have also received 50 letters of support of the project. I meant to mention earlier, I did add two letters to your packet, one in opposition and one in support. The letters all appear to be from current slip holders or boaters that had visited the marina. They state that the deteriorated facilities need to be improved and that they believe the floating piers would be an environmentally sensitive and safer alternative. They state that the improved and expanded facilities will have a positive economic impact on the town. It's a cross-section of the proposed bulkhead replacement. It's proposed to be located within 2 feet of the existing bulkhead. Cross-section detailing the proposed floating piers. There will be conduits housing water and electric. I know this is difficult to see, but this is a photo that was prepared by the applicant to show how he calculated one-third the distance across the creek. This is a portion of a bathymetric survey prepared for the Corps of Engineers to show the existing depths within the Urbana Creek Federal Project Channel. The numbers are difficult to see, but I wanted to show the dashed line representing the boundary of the Urbana Creek Turning Basin. This is Green Day Mark number 11 again. Water is slightly deeper along the west side of the creek. Project channel, the survey was from 2002. Project channel is 10 feet deep and 150 feet wide, with the turning basin measuring 400 feet by 1,575 feet. I believe it was last dredged in the 50s. This is the plan view drawing associated with the VMRC permit number 051820. This is the one that was approved in 2006, showing what the applicant is currently authorized to construct at this facility. It would be the darker colored piers. There's an aerial photo of the marina taken in 2005. Boundary of the property. All of these piers are associated with it, as well as this boathouse and this boathouse. Again, this is the Port Urbana facility. This is the Urbana Bridge facility. This is access underneath the Route 227 bridge over Urbana Creek. This is another aerial looking generally southeast. Again, the facility located over here. This aerial was also taken in 2005. It was looking generally toward the, I guess that would be the northwest. In their report dated September 4th, 2008, VIMS notes that various marine activities may impact water quality and marine habitats. They recommend that the construction of the replacement bulkhead should be as close to the existing bulkhead as possible. They also note that the upland development associated with the property is still pending, and they recommend that adequate upland be available to support the proposed marina without the need to fill wetlands or subaqueous land. They state that the floating piers are generally acceptable, provided the water is deep enough to allow the piers to float at all normal tide levels. The waters are presently condemned for shellfish harvesting, and VIMS recommends that measures should be taken to ensure that no further degradation of water quality occurs. They recommend adequate pump-out and restroom facilities be required, and that no overnight occupancy of boats be allowed unless authorized by the appropriate agencies. Finally, they recommend that the old piers and structures be properly removed from the water and disposed of in an approved upland location, and that a marina management plan be developed if one does not already exist. This is the same orientation, but showing the entire creek. Again, the facility is located here. The health department informs us that the marina is in compliance with their sanitary regulations for marinas and boat moorings. The Department of Conservation and Recreation does not anticipate the project will adversely affect any of their programs, although their Chesapeake Bay Local Assistance Division noted the applicability of the Chesapeake Bay Act requirements that are regulated by local government. The Department of Game and Fisheries notes that the Rappahannock River is an anadromous fish use area and recommends a time of year restriction between February 15th and June 30th, as well as conducting in-stream activities during low flow or no flow conditions. They note the presence of bald eagles and great blue herons in the project vicinity, but they do not anticipate any adverse impacts to those species. No other state agencies commented on the proposal. The proposed piers will not encroach on any public oyster ground and will only encroach on private oyster planting ground currently leased by the applicant. The applicant currently has an additional oyster planting ground lease application pending before the commission, also in the vicinity of the marina. As I mentioned, a portion of the proposed project will encroach on the Urbana Creek Federal Project Channel. The Corps of Engineers, however, has reviewed the project and determined that the project satisfies the conditions for their regional permit number 19, if approved by the commission. In their approval letter dated November 20, 2008, the Corps notes that the applicant will be responsible for maintaining the federal portion of the turning basin of the Urbana Creek Project Channel where the project is located. The letter also states that the applicant will be responsible for removing any of the authorized structures should the Secretary of Army later determine that they are causing an unreasonable obstruction to navigation. The turning basin of Urbana Creek Channel has historically been used by commercial vessels, primarily accessing the old Southern States grain facility. That facility was closed several years ago and has recently been replaced by the mixed-use commercial waterfront development that I showed earlier. know this drawing's a little busy. It was prepared in our engineering and surveying department, and it shows the current proposal as an overlay on the 2007 aerial photo. It also shows the location of the Urbana Creek Federal Project Channel in white. This is the green daymark number 11. This is access underneath the bridge. These are the proposed piers. The applicant has attempted to design the project so the piers do not extend more than one-third the width across the waterway as recommended in our sub-aqueous guidelines. Nevertheless, we are concerned the piers may still adversely impact navigation and existing uses of the waterway. We are particularly concerned with the encroachment of the proposed piers on the southern end of the project. That would be this end down here. The existing marked channel is close to these proposed piers, and boats traveling through the channel under the Route 227 bridge would need to make a sharper turn to avoid the proposed piers. Staff also questions whether it is reasonable to consider the large cove across the from the southern end of the project when calculating the width of the waterway. With this cove being located over here, the one-third width comes of the creek comes all the way out to here. The applicant provided us a possible revised drawing last week. I've got that not in my PowerPoint presentation, but available if he wants to refer to it later. I do think he is prepared to offer up that modification, which slightly reduces the encroachment on this end and does a little reorientation of this pier up here. This is a closer view of the southern end, closer view of the northern end. This and the following four photos are taken from across the creek, panning down the creek. This is a portion of the existing boathouse on the southern end of the project. This is the existing fuel dock. Travel lift over here. Existing marina office building. Northern boathouse. Again, that's the northern boathouse, and this is the Port Urbana facility. This is the southern boathouse. Actually, this picture was taken from the adjoining Urbana Bridge Marina. This portion here is to remain, as well as an enclosed area that there are some bathroom facilities in. This portion is to be removed. This is inside the southern boathouse showing the, I believe this is the restroom facilities. This is the channel underneath the Urbana Creek Bridge. This is a ground shot looking downstream along the existing marina piers. Travel lift in the background. And this is the northern boathouse to be removed. Existing fuel pier facilities proposed to be replaced. This pier would also be extended. Boats on racks near the travel lift facility on the north end of the boathouse. This shot is looking from the travel lift towards the Port Urbana boathouse. Although this project appears to conform with many of the items contained in our marina siting criteria and subaqueous guidelines, the proposed project also presents several conflicts. Possible conflicts with the siting criteria and guidelines include the potential of the expansion to interfere with access to adjacent riparian properties, conflicts with existing uses of the waterway, impede navigation, and add to congestion of the waterway. Staff also questions whether adequate upland exists to support all of the associated marina activities. Although the applicant has provided a site plan which appears to show an adequate number of parking spaces, it's difficult to conceive of a 1.41-acre parcel as accommodating the proposed condominiums, marina office and bathhouse, marina parking, and any upland boat storage and boat maintenance associated with the travel lift facility. Staff clearly understands the applicant's desire to renovate the deteriorated facilities at this marina, and we took this into consideration when we reviewed and approved the renovations and expansions proposed by the previous owner. We are concerned, however, that the magnitude of this project may adversely affect navigation and other traditional uses of the adjacent waters. Although the applicant has attempted to confine the proposed expansion to one-third the width of the waterway, The configuration of the waterway must be considered since the deepest water and marked navigation channel are located towards the applicant's side of the creek. The marina is also located along a curve in the creek, and the further the structures extend out at this curve, the sharper the turn becomes for vessels traveling past the marina. The town of Urbana relies heavily on tourism and boating activities supported by the creek. Although renovation of this marina may improve water access and provide certain economic benefits, it's important that the expansion not adversely affect existing uses of the creek and access to other marinas. These concerns have clearly been expressed by the town, the public, and adjoining property owners. In this picture, I'm attempting to show what our recommendation, the following recommendation will be. In yellow is what's currently proposed, essentially the bold outline of it. In blue is what we're recommending. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition to the project, and after considering all of the factors contained in Section 28.2.1205 of the Code of Virginia, staff is unable to recommend approval of the project as proposed. We could support a revised proposal that incorporated the following design considerations and special conditions. Those would be that A dock may not be extended beyond the existing pier. A dock would be this dock here. Stop it about where it is now. Elimination of B dock, which is this dock here. C dock may not extend more than 200 feet channelward of A dock, which would be the blue here. D dock may not extend more than 184 feet channelward of the bulkhead, approximately 40 feet shorter than proposed. That is this one here. E dock may not extend more than 170 feet channelward of the bulkhead, approximately 25 feet shorter than proposed and in alignment with the currently authorized pier. F dock may not extend more than 193 feet channelward of the bulkhead corner, and all but the first four slips on the north side of the pier must be eliminated, approximately 40 feet shorter than proposed and in alignment with the currently authorized pier. The existing deteriorated bathroom facilities currently located in the existing boathouse shall be eliminated or relocated to the upland. The replacement bulkhead shall not extend more than 1 foot channelward of the existing deteriorated bulkhead. The applicant shall be required to develop and implement a marina management plan and fuel spill contingency plan deemed acceptable to staff. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Chip. Mr. Schick and then Mr. Fox. Mr. Schick.
How does this recommendation compare to the bold outline footprint of the approved application that hasn't been...
Okay. He's got authorization to essentially build a pier in this location.
So out to where the blue
is. Out to where the blue is. And again, where the blue is here.
Right.
He has authorization to go out to about where this red tick mark is here.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a new pier here.
So basically it's a little bit more than...
Slightly more on this pier.
Right.
And the addition of
and
this
addition
pier here.
That pier there. And
Mr. Schick,
is there a set number of slips that, you're recommending to go with this? Or?
No, we're not, and that was something I did want to make you aware of. I mean, if commission deemed that something like that was appropriate, he might want to reconfigure things to make maximum use of that area. It's more the encroachment that we're concerned about here. Of course, the numbers of slips, shouldn't exceed much more than what's we wouldn't want a whole bunch of little tiny slips in there because we don't think the upland could support that kind of traffic. So similar size slip, but in that configuration,
basically no more than the 139 that he's asked.
Certainly not.
If he wants to make them a little smaller,
that's correct.
To fit them in, that's his prerogative. Okay.
Mr. Fox,
I was just wondering what the red tick mark is. That's just the old...
That's the alignment that he can go out to about that location right now with what he's got under the 2006 approval.
And are you contemplating having mooring slips on the outside of those T's or not?
No, but I would expect that there could be boats laid up against there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mr. Robbins and Mr. Tankard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are you satisfied that the F dock, as reconfigured, would sufficiently mitigate the impacts to the adjacent Port Urbana Yachting Center, because that still looks like if boats come out of there, they're gonna be confronted with that fairly quickly.
That's essentially what he's approved to do right now. There weren't any slips located along this side of it in the current proposal, which is why we had said to eliminate all but the four inboard slips here.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Tankard.
In your briefing, you mentioned that the measurement of the, quote, waterway at the southern end of the project. What can you explain to me a little bit more about waterway versus channel and some of the safety issues?
Well, our Sebago risk guidelines use a rule of thumb of extending no more than a third of the way across the waterway. Rationale for that being that if one side goes out a third and another side goes out a third, there's still a third of the creek for navigation. You have to take into consideration the configuration of the shoreline and existing water depths and possible boat traffic and uses. But our concern on the southern end, is related to the location of the green mark here, green mark 11, which means that traffic's supposed to be on, this side of it. When you take that third of a distance and you're going all the way to this cove over here, it looks like it artificially extends that third of a distance out a little bit further than if you had a straight shoreline on both sides. And that was where our concern was with using the one-third on that side. Not to mention the fact that the access for going underneath the bridge is here. Now, access under the bridge is limited to 20-some feet, but there's still a fair amount of powerboat traffic that goes up that way.
So, Mr. Tankard, follow up.
Related question. So, it's just so I've got you straight here now. The channel and the waterway are two different things.
Yes.
And so, how far is he really going into the channel? You've mentioned it one more time, but I want to make sure I'm clear on this.
Well, the federal project channel is up here. He does not encroach on the actual channel if you take it as 150 feet wide here, but he's right up next to it. Boats currently can travel right along through here. So this would force boats to go out and around. They can do it. They can get by it. Corps of Engineers, determined that they can get by there when they approved it, but it does make it a sharper turn.
Mr. Fox?
How about Pier, I guess it's A, B, C, C and D. They look like they're well over a third of the way across the waterway mm-hmm. there.
I don't think they are. It looks like they are, but I don't think they are.
Especially what you
Some of it has to do with this one's a little bit longer because it's, the shoreline's angling back here. Mm-hmm. Where we've dropped it back though is in line with the previously authorized permit. Now even though it's a little narrower up here, we have this one here, and there would be the fuel facilities would be located there.
Mr. Schick.
Is there presently a no-wake zone enforced
in
this area?
Yes, there is.
On the southern end there, you don't think that he could maybe build half of that southern end dock, not to extend all the way out, but some, considering that there's a no-wake zone and they're already supposed to be going, slowest possible speed, that type of thing?
Potentially. unfortunately, that's your call. I think that was staff's recommendation, was that we thought it was that extending any further out to the south didn't. And also, it starts to interfere, we believe, although he has not objected to it, the adjoining property owner did want to send us a letter stating that he'd like us to consider access to his project when approving it.
Right.
Yes. But he's not formally objected to it.
Okay.
Further questions? Thank you, Chip.
Yes, sir.
Is the applicant present or represented? Morning, gentlemen.
Morning. How are y'all?
Fine. Yourself?
take me just a minute. I just got this blue item on there. I'm Ray Watson. My partner and I are the managing partners that own Urbana Yachting Center, the Combe-Timber Investments.
Raise your right hand. Yes, this gentleman. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Do.
First proceed, please.
Gentlemen, I just received this as I came in the door, so I'm trying to react to it, and at the same time, I will try to do so as quickly as possible. In reviewing Mr. Nykerk's Habitat Division evaluation, and I chatted with him outside the door when we came in, the permit that we currently have is 05-1820 that you issued to Mr. Scott and has been transferred to me and Potomac Timber Investments. Interestingly, note there was no opposition at all at that hearing with regard to these docks that came out in the water. The adjacent property across the water has recently been permitted by BMRC as well, and I believe, let's see, I have a copy of that permit as well, and it's been approved, I believe, for 129 slips. They are floating docks as well. It is our intent and was our intent when we came to Urbana to develop a very state-of-the-art floating dock facility for today's boater and to also combine that with the highest and best use analysis on the property of the comprehensive plan of town of Urbana, residential mixed use. Intense residence for mixed
off so they can see your picture a little bit. There.
Okay. It's an interesting twist when you come in. When we came into town in June of 06, I was welcomed with open arms. We were encouraged to buy Urbana Yachting Center by the mayor and the town administrator. After much due diligence, we put it under contract. After much due diligence, we went before the Planning Commission, the Town Council, and received an SUP for 14 residential condominium units. Elevator access, handicap accessible parking underneath of three buildings. There are a total of 78 parking places in our proposed plan on the site. With regard to the numbers of slips, and this is what I'm chatted with Chip outside, we have the permit, if you flip to item number 6-4 in your blue packet. They said y'all got the same thing I did, so I was just flipping to find it. You'll see in there, gentlemen, that the permit states that we are to remove 20 slips and the fuel dock and replace it with 43 slips. Mr. Nykerk has stated that we have 86 slips. Close. We have 88. Our manager's here. We can verify that, but close enough. 88. It states we have 1.41 acres. It's 1.47 acres. It's five individual tax parcels. We acquired the land after approval, by the way. We got approval in November of 06, closed on the property in January of 07 for $2.9 million in good faith of the plan that had been approved. Subsequently, as Chip has stated, the development was put in litigation. None of us wants to go into litigation, and we tried everything imaginable to work with the town to come to a compromise to avoid having to do so. The guidelines, the zoning is very clear in this zoning district. My background is commercial real estate. I'm designated commercially as an appraiser. I'm a real estate investment consultant as well. But my development, my love is for the water, as it is with you gentlemen, and that's what I've been doing for the last 20 years. I've been in real estate for 35 years. Back to this, We currently have, based on the math, 111 slips in the dock right now. Why do we need to expand our plan? I greeted a transient boater last night after hours. I'm at the marina, by the way. I don't wear a coat and tie anymore. I wear jeans and a jacket, and I'm a marina man. I love the water, and I'm there. I live in the apartment at the marina. And anybody that's around the marina knows how that is. You're there 24/7. I met a transient boater last night, three men on board, just a 45-foot boat. We've got all these vacant slips everybody talked about. I had to put him by the travel lift. Why? Because we don't have a slip big enough to handle a 45-foot boat. The market wants us to come to them and give them something that they can use. It's very hard to have people calling us all the time from all over the country looking to line up on a trip to Urbana and having to turn them away because we don't have the accommodations. And that's what this plan is about. We're trying to do something that's good for us and also good for the town. With flipping through again on this letter, which I've just got, we look at the letters that have been sent to the commission, 33 individual letters of objection, a petition signed by 308 individuals claiming to be residents of the town of Urbana. With regard to that, this gentleman that's sitting behind me is Mr. Frank Weichert, Buddy Weichert, is known to him by the people in Urbana and to myself. Mr. Weichert is the self-appointed chairman of the Urbana Citizens Committee. The reason I'm aware of this petition, and it's in your packet on, I don't have the item number, but interestingly enough, the cover letter has been removed, okay? But the cover letter is from Mr. Weichert, and I have a copy of it. And the cover letter states that he's representing the concerned citizens of the town of Urbana and that they are against this project. But I would call your attention to the top of this page, which is dated 2007. Okay? And if you note the petitions that are signed at the top of page 66, June 18, 2007, this petition is put out against the project commonly known as Urbana Landing. Urbana Landing is a condominium project, gentlemen. Urbana Yachting Center is our marina. This petition was signed in 2007. Against the condominium project by people that they could just catch. If you look down, the reason I'm familiar with this is because the town council came to me, people that I was working with, and they marked it. If you flip on to page, say, 611, you'll notice 612, you'll notice NR, NR, NR. That means they are not a resident. The town council people marked this petition. This petition is against the condominium project. It is not against this marina. Mr. Weichert, in my opinion, is misrepresenting that he has gotten these people's voice and they are against this marina project. I think that is a big misstatement. And I think it's a gross purportment of power that he doesn't have. Yes, I think
he does. Sir, let's continue with the merits of the case.
Okay.
Instead of the.
All right. Okay.
We're
all right. Okay. Coming back to the town administrator letter here on page 1-2 of your packet in mine, Lewis Filling. We currently have, when I came here, Mr. Filling greeted us with open arms. He encouraged us and the mayor to buy this property. Please buy this property. Please invest in this town. And we took him at his word, and after we got certain approvals, we went forward with that. The bottom line on this letter, when you read it, we will impede boat traffic, okay, interfere with access to adjoining, added congestion to the creek, and that the, you know, he talks about the, I'm going to have to pull this off so I can actually see it, that one of the letters got written on behalf of the mayor, town council, and citizens of Urbana. I'll have somebody else say something else about this, but the bottom line is we have more parking than any other property in the town of Urbana. Right now, any other property. The adjacent marina, which John Mullins, who's a good man and a good friend, he's got 44 slips. You've seen the sketch up here with the small marina, okay? There are three duplexes on that property and a single-family residence. And, you know, the parking. Y'all approved that expansion back in 04, okay? And that's what it is. And you can see clearly the comparison. We have street parking and on-site parking, and then I have a separate off-site agreement with Herlock Corporation for off-site parking for additional spaces as needed. And the reality is we don't have a parking problem. Urbana needs a parking, you know, needs activity. They're dying. They need economic input. We have multiple properties in the town that are vacant and boarded up right now. We need commerce. We just had another restaurant closed down, it looks like. Down at the bottom of page 1-2, they talk about the oyster ground. If you look at the sketch right here, let's see, do we have the one that shows the oyster leases? Okay. Part of what we're going to do, again, gentlemen, in a couple months, and I'll be back before you, is I have applied for oyster grant. And they have, in a couple instances, opposed it. Okay? I am a licensed waterman. Okay? I am a licensed aquaculturist. I'm a licensed harvester. I own a property across the river over here in Lancaster County in White House Creek, and I have 27 acres of lease right there, right now. And it was applied for in 2004. I was going to be a marine biologist, went to Old Dominion University, couldn't get a job, and went into business, okay? And I've been in business in real estate and waterfront for 35 years, as I said. When you look at their statements, they're saying that all I'm doing is just trying to confuse y'all. I don't have any interest in oysters. I don't have any interest in the water. I'm simply trying to mess with y'all, and that is not the case, as God is my witness. So that record stands for itself. So, you know, in preface to that, you know, I think it's horrendous. Now, I've applied for 98 acres here, right next to Rufus Ruark, who's a good friend of mine, and 104 acres here, and 98 acres there, to be used as a relay ground for oysters. And we've been building cages at my marina right now in the shop to put them in the water. So this is an ongoing plan. And it's straight up. When we look at this plan that we now have, interestingly enough, Mr. Filling requested that we be cut back from our existing permit, which gives us 109 slips, to 78 slips. New, okay? Ironically, the plan that y'all have before you with all these cuts comes down to 78 slips, plus a couple on the bulkhead and a couple in the old boathouse right up front. Wow. You know, that's pretty coincidental. You know, sort of interesting. But, you know, when you look at the property, it is in an IDA location. You gentlemen, Mr. Fox, you were the CEO of Chesapeake Corporation. Chesapeake Corporation is in an IDA location, a intense development area. In order for people to do things with a good waterfront site, those kind of things mean something because you don't have all the hooks and stops to get development and do it properly. That was there, and it is there now. Why am I bringing this up? Part of what this town is doing to my partner and I right now is on the record. They are rushing to do away with all the waterfront zoning in Urbana Creek so that we will be a non-conforming use as a B2 waterfront property.
Sir, in all due respect, let me finish. Okay. Your application is before the commission now. It is not before the town. It's not before the town's people.
Right.
And there have been issues that have been laid out by Mr. Nykirk during the course of the evaluation.
Right.
I think we need to address those, and then we can hear from the opponents, and then at that time I think it would be the appropriate time to rebut what they may have as far as opposition is concerned. But if you would at this juncture, because the time is of the essence, as well as address what Mr. Nykirk and the staff has that are potential problems and why you think that you should have something other.
All right, one thing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're quite welcome.
One thing that Mr. Nykirk didn't address, and I wanted to bring this up, and this is very valid and coming back to the opposition. We put our plan in June of 2008. Mr. Weichert put in a letter of opposition before we even put our plan in. But here's my point. We waited for the opposition letters to come in, And then I met with Mr. Weichert and Mr. Henderson of the Army Corps of Engineers, and I said, based on these things that are coming in, we're going to revisit this. And I met, and Mr. Henderson is the chief of the Army Corps, as you gentlemen know. And after much discussion, we pulled it in 81 feet. Okay, so the application, this one, was for 80 feet further south. We pulled it in 81 feet at Mr. Nykerk's suggestion and Army Corps. We then looked at it again. I went to your survey department. I let Army Corps verify everything we had. Be sure and get and sat down with Rick Henderson several times. Tell me what we can do to make this safe. Now, the previous permit that's before you, y'all approved the one that was existing in 06. We have a turn basin in front of our marina for what was a barge for Southern States. Southern States is gone, and a hotel is there. It's 15 units, 15 rooms. No docks. That's it. The permit that was previous before you and is accepted and active, and I have the permit active from Middlesex County. I've paid the fee, and we have it. That's what the barge is for. It encroached into that channel area, the federal project channel. And the theory was that we didn't need 300 and some feet to turn a boat around in an area that your observation in a no-wake zone, and the fact that those barges don't exist anymore. And so that's my point on that. Now, Mr. Henderson came back and came to the property several times at my request, and I talked with him several times by phone, and we emailed back and forth, and we kept revising stuff. And I did the same thing with Mr. Nykerk, and he was very helpful. When we finally laid down this plan, Mr. Henderson said, "Ray, this is beautiful. The Army Corps loves it. He deals on all the projects." I was scared, to be honest with you. He said, based on the activity in this creek, based on the width of the channel to the north, based on the coming into the creek, have we got a thing that shows the north? Small scale. When you come into, Urbana Creek's a transitional waterway. You come in out of the creek to go to the larger water, or you come in, come in reverse. But typically, transitional. There have been national studies that are borne out. In fact, Mr. Henderson had stated this, that show that in a normal facility, commercial marina, of a typical, say, 100 slips, if you're using it as an example, on a holiday weekend or a national holiday, that no more than 20% of the boats typically leave the dock. Okay, and he said, wow, compared to Rudy Inlet, which is an honest comparison. I went to school down the beach in Old Dominion, and I fished out of Rudy many times. But when you look at the commercial marinas that are there and the things that y'all have had to rule on in the past and do a comparative thing, this is not a problem at all. And the bottom line is we're coming to you for the fairness. Now, Mr. Henderson reviewed this, and he said, "Ray," I said, "what do you think will be the complaints from people? You and I put hundreds of hours in. What's going to be the complaints?" And he said to me, "Well, they could complain about this over here." Now, I said, "Well, okay, let's look at that." And he said, "But, I'm okay with it." I said, "Well, let's look at that." And when you look at Mr. Nykerk's statement about on page 1-4, the existing mark channel is close to these proposed piers. This is what I'm calling your attention to. Gentlemen, I don't know what close is, but I'm a boater, and I'm a safe boater. And y'all are boaters. What's close? Okay? Now, on all the examples, and BMRC had this, and Army Corps had it, and we've got it, and I got it from your survey. I got it from your survey company. It's 173 feet from the corner of that dock to that marker in a no-wake zone. If you can't navigate your boat safely in 173 feet in a no-wake zone, you don't need to stay off the water, and we hope you do. So that's one of the concerns. When you look to the other end of the property, as the Dozier is concerned, right now by survey it is from our boathouse to his boathouse, and this is our boathouse right here. It's 110 feet to the proposed line. It's further than that to the existing. Okay, but the bottom line is he's complaining about the distance out here. Well, I had surveyed off yesterday. It's 179 feet, gentlemen. I don't see the problem. If you're coming out of these boathouses with, call it 110, 115 feet, big boats, these are big covered slips. They've got the biggest boats in the creek. They're coming out of here and not having any problem. I've never known of an accident. But yet out here, this is a problem. It's 179 feet away. I think the facts show that this is very logical and very well planned. That's the other reason Mr. Henderson said, Ray, you know, I was an Eagle Scout when I was a kid. Safety is very important to me, extremely important to me. I don't want to wait for an accident to say, wow, why didn't we have fire extinguishers? Why didn't we plan so-and-so? Why do we not prepare for an oil or gas spill? We've got good things on the dock ready for that. You don't want to wait for it to happen. You want to be ready for it. So with that said, I feel like that there's been some gray area here, and the facts have sort of been omitted to somebody that's come to town that has a $4.5 million damages suit against the town, and they'd like to get rid of us. And, I, you know, personally, I wouldn't mind going away myself. But the bottom line is that when you come through this plan and you look at what we've asked for and you look at what Mr. Henderson's give and take was, now, we came in and we pulled it in 81 feet. Now, we've improved this, and the channel stops right here at the end of this property. I pulled back off of what we call the traffic lanes of the bridge. You cannot go on the bridge if you're over 21 feet. You know, you can get down there for hours and not see any boats go by, and that's honest. But it is what it is. But it's a safe area. Now, when you look at this, you take that in. Now, we've got a slide, and I told Chip that I'm prepared to concede this as well. We pulled it in another 9 feet, so we pulled it in a total of 90 feet since this application. Interestingly enough, we did not make the amendment to 81 feet until October. Okay, the letters have come in based on the sketch that showed the larger plan. We pulled it in as a result of that. So a lot of these people here today, Urbana Citizens Committee, I got a copy of a letter from Urbana Citizens Committee a week ago. They had the old plan from June on it. We need to cut this in. Oh, okay, I agree. I've listened to the people in Urbana. I've made a concession. I've gone to the Army Corps of Engineers. I've come to your offices. What can we do that's safe in a no-wake zone? What can I do? Now, the other feature on the end of this, there's a transient dock feature right here. Transient dock. And this plan that Andy Moser is showing you shows this transient dock feature in orange pulled in 9 more feet right here. 9 more feet.
Sure, you do.
These are copies for all of y'all to scale that we've had printed up for your review. Now,
can you please summarize your argument in the next 5 minutes, what we'll do, then we'll hear the opposition, we'll have a chance to rebut.
Thank you.
All right. We don't need but one. Council and I will look at it together.
Good. Thanks. I think that this shows the only other thing that I would mention in Mr. Nykirk's presentation. Well, it's a couple of things. In your file, and I'm trying to find the letter, let's see, 5-9, Christchurch School supposedly is in opposition to our docs. You know, I've read that letter. My staff has read that letter. I just had another young man read it today. I'm not reading it as a hard letter of opposition. I respectfully request that y'all review that letter, 5-9, because a lot has been said about Christ Church School. I like Christ Church School. They're great. I see them every day. Not a navigational problem. That's what I'm saying. Okay? They say in that letter that they're vigilant. They have a watch boat that goes with them, gentlemen. That's a power boat on pontoons. And he's watching for those boys in those crew boats. And he's their coach. And it's not been an issue, no problem, and they're out there all the time.
Let me ask you a question. Staff has recommended an alternative that was presented this morning. How do you feel about the alternative?
The alternative, Mr. Chairman, calls for a 45-slip reduction in what we have proposed and 139-slip, which we already have approval to do 109. So when you do the math, you take 139 minus 45, you go, wait a minute, we're backing up here. And we already have approval to do 109 slips. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow. You know, I want floating docks. They're environmentally sensitive, Mr. Chairman. I'm open to your suggestions, sir. Y'all come into this all the time. All I'm asking for is a fair, honest review of the facts.
Okay. Let me see if staff has or the commission has any questions. Mr. Schick.
One question,
if I could. Mr. Moses would like to point out a couple of technical aspects. He's with my office. He wanted to just be sure that y'all understood.
Please be brief.
Sir, you need to come to the mic and introduce yourself.
Is there a pointer up there, Chip?
This one right here.
My name is Andrew Moser. I'm the manager, and I'm the one that's been drafting these plans. Thank you.
Very sharp-looking drawings.
This, the orange drawing, as you'll see, is what we're requesting. The green drawing is permit 05-1820, which is in existence now. And the blue outline is what we propose to retain. On the north end, in the vicinity of Mr. Dozier's property, you can see that the existing permit in the green was angled towards the property. We've since rotated that away from him, so there's no appreciable increase in encroachment towards his docks. And as Mr. Watson pointed out, we're now in 179 feet off of his piers. And we've also, as Mr. Watson brought up, brought this south dock in another 9 feet. So we are in excess of 30 feet off of the suggested traffic lane, as well as 173 feet off of green marker number 11. I just wanted to bring up those.
It's only 40 feet more than what our T-head is what we're asking, 40 feet. Okay, we came in asking for 135. We've come by, we only asking for 40 feet. That's it, 40 feet.
Okay, well, Mr. Schick.
Just looking at your drawing, your slips are in length of, 40 to 55 feet long?
40 50s and 60s.
And some 60s.
Yes, sir. Now, down the transient docks, which can handle large.
And the width is, like on your 50-foot slips, your width is what?
It's a double-loaded width of 36 feet.
Right.
So each slip would be 18 feet wide.
18 feet wide for a 50-foot boat.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you were to try to maintain your slip number, you'd have to go with slips that aren't as wide, which would cause you problems for housing 50-foot boats. That's what you're saying.
Yes, sir. We would have to reduce the length and size of the slips to less than what we can accommodate now.
Right. And how many slips is this total now? As you've
138.
Drawn? 138 slips.
Yes, for revision. Yeah.
Total.
Just one less than what you see in your packet, sir.
Okay.
The overall plan is just a contraction of what you have in your blue packet.
Further questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard?
I'm a waterway again. Why are you angling to the, I guess that's southwest, with your distance across Urbana Creek?
In the direction, are you referring to the direction of green number 11?
Yes.
The waterway is wider in that direction. I can put that slide up there if you'd like me to again. But although green marker number 11 is sort of out there in the middle of nowhere, obviously all of that water all of that creek area is navigable because those docks are, you know, pretty well right up against the shore. There's no lack of depth in that area. But that's why we feel that we're able to include the, you know, the whole creek is in our one-third measurement, sir.
But you're not going straight across, is that right?
In every direction, just one-third. And that's we had no opposition to that, those measurements by Army Corps of Engineers.
We ran all of this by Army Corps and VMRC before we did it.
Mm-hmm. Further questions?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Fox?
On your drawing there, the green ones are the previously approved.
Yes, sir.
And all of the orange ones have not been approved, and they're in this
That is the application before you, sir, yes.
Okay.
We have existing docks out that way, Mr. Fox.
But I can see those.
South on the dotted line, yeah.
I can see
those. That's, okay. I don't know if you can see it from there or not. It's not, it doesn't go up too well.
Further questions? Thank you very much. Anyone else here in support of the project? Yes, sir. Please go speak in support of the project. Let me be very as polite as I can, but as distinct as I can. We're already close to 11 o'clock. We've got an agenda that has 21 items on there. Please be brief. Don't repeat what the person said in front of you. And if you agree with what the person in front of you did say, say, I agree with them. How's that? Fair enough? And that goes for opposition as well, please. Those who are going to testify on behalf, please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, none but the truth, so help you God. Thank you very much. You're first.
Thank you.
Your name, please?
James Botro.
Okay.
I am partially speaking on behalf of my parents who couldn't make it here. They are the developers of the property where the Southern States Grain Mills used to be. They now have a mixed-use development there. They wanted to basically have me convey their strong support with Potomac Timber Investment. They're heavily invested in the support.
They're
heavily invested in the success of the waterfront, of the Urbana waterfront. They also control 372 feet of direct creek access. They wanted me to convey that to you. They also wanted me to convey that during the development of their own property, they experienced similar opposition, even though we didn't do the waterfront, but basically there was a lot of opposition in the town. So they just wanted to make sure that when you take into account the validity as well as the intentions that might appear in the opposition, that you just factor that in your judgment.
You're welcome. And state your name again, please.
James Votro.
Thank you very much.
Yes. And also a personal note, having been a resident of the town of Urbana for the better part of a decade, I've enjoyed almost all that Urbana Creek has to offer. I've taken friends water skiing, gone fishing, and even kayaked the entire length of the creek, so naturally I was concerned when my parents received the alarming letter trying to garner support to oppose this project. So naturally, you know, I was concerned, and I ended up going speaking with Mr. Watson and actually trying to explore the property in its entirety, which is what he put here. And it's my opinion that I'm confident that the proposed improvements would not hinder my ability to safely perform any water activity at this point. That's basically just my opinion as a resident. As long as boaters exercise the same common sense and caution that would be expected of any waterman, there will not be any prevalent safety issues, in my opinion. Realistically, as the population of boaters in the area inevitably increases, I believe that the Urbana Yachting Center development would provide a safer and more manageable environment for those who wish to enjoy the creek with larger boats. I, for one, welcome not only the potential economic benefits that the town could experience by having all 139 boat slips approved, but also the aesthetic improvements it would bring to the town as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Who's next? Morning, sir.
Good morning. My name is Roy Pace. I'm a resident of Middlesex County. I own a boat slip in the Urbana Harbor Yacht Club Marina and keep my sailboat at that location. I'm retired from Reynolds Metals Company and a COA as project engineer, and I have worked on large capital projects where I've written up cost justification for those. I'm currently employed as a part-time manager at Urbana Yachting Center. I'm here to provide you a summary of an economic impact analysis report based on the current number of boat slips at Urbana Yachting Center and the proposed request of 138 boat slips. I have copies of that report, 10 copies, for your review. The analysis in the report was conducted using the online boating economic impact model developed by the Recreation Marine Research Center at Michigan State University. The model is endorsed by the Virginia Institute of Marine Science. It's understood that a marina produces direct and indirect revenues for many different types of businesses, for example, retail and restaurants. In the local area, it also contributes to the visual character of the waterfront and contributes to the community's quality of life. Unfortunately, the economic contributions of marinas often go unrecognized or are undervalued. The report provides estimates of the direct and indirect economic impacts associated with the spending by owners of boats that rent seasonal and annual slips, and the direct spending by transient boaters staying at Urbana Yachting Center. The model spending profiles were developed for different size and types of boats in different regions of the country. The craft and trip spending averages used in the report are for boats kept at marinas in the Mid-Atlantic region. The spending averages are applied to the number of slip runners and transient boaters at Urbana Yachting Center. Distinct spending averages are used for power and sail boats divided into two size categories. Spending is divided into 12 trip spending categories and 8 craft spending categories. The report compares the current number of boat slips at Urbana Yachting Center versus the 138 slips proposed to be built. The net difference shows the total impact on the local economy of adding 50 slips is 15 jobs, $300,000 in labor income, plus $500,000 in value-added revenue. Value-added is the income accruing to households in the region plus rents and profits of businesses and indirect business taxes. As the name implies, it is the net value added to the region's economy. For example, the value added by a marina includes wages and salaries paid to employees, their payroll benefits, profits of the marina, and sales and other indirect taxes. I repeat, the total impact on the local economy is 15 jobs, $300,000 in labor income, and $500,000 in value added. It is the intent of Potomac Timber Investments to create a stimulus in this weakened economy and provide a safety and a pleasant boating experience for Urbana Creek.
Thank you, sir. Any questions?
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, sir. State your name for the record, please.
Yeah, my name is John Price. I'm a slip holder. I've been down there for about 4 years at Urbana Yachting before Ray came. And I tell you, my wife and myself really enjoy leaving Richmond. That's where I live. And get off work and come down to the boat. We go during the summer every week. In fact, down even during the winter, I come a little bit. But I've got a 43 Sea Ray, and I'm in the biggest slip that's currently there. And I tell you, backing that rascal in there, I got 3 inches on both sides right now, and it's tough getting it. And I really welcome having a bigger slip. Floating dock, I went through 2 hurricanes in the last 4 years. That I saw 7-foot surges down there, and I was on the back of my boat seeing the poles disappear, and I felt like my life was at hand trying to babysit my boat. Floating dock would really mean a lot to me. Plus, you know, drive across that bridge when I get off work and I'm going down there, I leave work behind me and I head across that bridge, see a little crown jewel of a nice little yachting club there and nice boats and yachts size of my boat sitting there. I would love to see that. We enjoy the town, the restaurants. I've seen a lot of stuff leave there. It kind of disappoints me. My wife used to walk into town to eat, and the restaurants are disappearing. I don't know. I think it'd be a great, great thing to do. So I'm for it in a big way.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Who's next? Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name's James Monk. I'm from Richmond, Virginia. I hold a Coast Guard master's license. I'm a real estate developer in the Richmond area, and I have my boat in the Urbana Yacht Haven. That's my second time in the Urbana Yacht Haven. I had a boat in the same marina years ago. During all that time, I noticed very few improvements in the marina, very little maintenance, and it's gotten to the point now where it needs to be replaced because of the age of the marina, because of the lack of improvements. So I think we all agree the marina needs to be replaced. Let me talk a little bit about floating docks. The slips in the marina are obviously too narrow for most of our boats, and the normal tidal range might be a couple of feet, but with the storm surge in the summertime and the extremely low tides in the wintertime, it seems to me like we're fighting about a 4 or 5 foot average water variation, and it's nearly impossible to tie our boats in the slips and keep them safe with that much variation. Like I said, I'm a developer in Richmond, and I just can't see this marina being feasible and these improvements being made with the current revenue stream. It seems to me that Mr. Watkins needs a lot more slips to generate enough revenue to make this a viable project. And I'll end up by saying that this marina is probably the Urbana signature marina. It's the first marina you see when you drive across the bridge. It's obviously the biggest marina with the most slips. And that's what people recognize. And we certainly do need more slips in the harbor. The town opened up their marina, their new marina, a couple years ago. But they priced their slips around $300 a month for out-of-town people like myself. I don't want to pay $300 a month for a slip, so we need more slips. And by them pricing their slips so high, they actually just shut people out of those slips. So instead of having more slips when the town opened their marina, we didn't get any more slips because we can't afford them. So, and in my opinion, we need more slips, and Mr. Watkins needs all the slips he can get to make this a viable project. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else in support? Who's in opposition? Raise your hands, please. Okay. As you can see, we have a number of people here in opposition. And what I would like to do, I'm sorry?
The gentleman's trying to get home, didn't he?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
I'm on the fence, sir.
You on the fence?
Yes, sir.
And I guess, would you like to be heard next?
Please.
Come forward.
We heard in the middle. Lawyer representing a lot of
communication. Do we? Okay. Is the opposition represented by counsel? Okay.
Part of it is. 20 property owners.
Okay. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, self you God.
I do.
State your name, please, sir.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I'm John Mullins. We own the little old Urbana Bridge Marina. We really don't own it. We're privileged to operate it at the will of the commission and the state. And we're grateful for that opportunity.
Thank you.
I'm a property rights advocate, without question. However, when I seen the drawings of the southern portion and the northern portion, I am concerned. Due to the fact that on the northern portion, we have a boat manufacturing plant in the town of Urbana. And they manufacture catamarans. My concern is for the employment of those folks, continue, and ingress and egress on the southern and northern end. Mr. Watson informed me this morning that the southern end had been addressed. But when I seen that last drawing on the stream there, I had more concern. I'll be honest with you. I hadn't seen that until today. We had a rough draft of what it would, how it would imperil the ingress and egress, but we didn't know it would be that severe, and I was assured it wasn't. Hopefully that's true. I'd like to correct Mr. Watson on one thing, if I may. We do have more than four off-street parking places. We can park 12 to 14 cars off-street any day of the week. We own a little house up on the knoll from the marina. We can put five cars in there should we have the need to do so. I've only had to do that once, and that was during Oysterfest. I certainly want to see progress. Sure, floating docks are wonderful, but we need to be careful about how we infringe upon our neighbors. And I want to be a neighbor. The town of Urbana has been my neighbor. If I dotted my I's, crossed my T's, they were very helpful. Now, I never went to Mr. Filling on a project to this date, but what he would leave me with the answer when I approached him, we'll see. He never ever said yes at the first or second meeting. We'll see how it works out. And that's the approach we've taken. I'm concerned about the survival of the town. You know, I personally don't enjoy seeing empty storefronts. I don't enjoy seeing the traffic flow decrease. But please, if you have it within your power, let's try to satisfy all parties. I don't know that we can do that, but let's do our best. Thank you.
If later on you've got a recipe for that, I'd be glad to have it.
You call it WORK. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Counselor, I'd like to hear from you first, and then we'll hear from the rest of those that are in opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Raleigh Simmons. I'm an attorney with Dunton Simmons and Dunton Whitestone. I'm here on behalf of Rappahannock Associates and Catman Katz. Rappahannock Associates owns, I'm not sure I'm smart enough to know how to use this thing. They own this area right in here. This is their marina. It goes all the way up the hill, includes all of this repair facility. Mm-hmm. Catman Katz is a catamaran manufacturer that leases this building from them. You, matter of fact, you can see two of their catamarans alongside the dock here. They launch from this parking lot here using a crane. They bring in a large hydraulic crane, launch into this basin. It's the only place anywhere, as far as I know, on the Rappahannock River, I may be wrong, that they could launch these boats. It's very limited places you can build a boat. They build boats that are 65 feet long and 28 feet wide. Rappahannock Associates Marina has been there, I don't even know how long it's been there, longer than I've been alive. Probably more than 50 years. It has remained basically unchanged in size and shape during that time. The two concerns they have are, one, safety of navigation in and out of their marina, and two, the economic impact it could have on both them and their tenants as far as future expansion of their facilities and access to large vessels. Catman Katz has built nine boats in the last 10 years. All of which are of the size range that I've specified. I have some pictures of them, as a matter of fact, but you can see them here. You saw them in the other photos that the commission, that the staff put up. And their commissioning dock is right at the end of this pier, alongside the pier right here. That is essentially the only area they can get to. There is a boat that you saw in one of the pictures that was, they have it as an 80-foot vessel that moors along here for three-quarters of the year. They lease it the whole time but are gone during the winter usually. That vessel's been sold and is now a 92 to 94-footer depending upon what the man buys. He is a long-term slip holder and is obviously a major economic driver in their situation. His new boat will actually come back to the point where it blocks a couple of these slips here. The issue is obviously this area in here. One of the problems is that we don't really know what we are opposing. We have a moving target. We've got a multitude of proposals. They say this proposal in October, that proposal. We don't know what they are. We haven't seen them staked out in the creek with PVC pipe or anything to show us what it is. You know, they say that, oh, it's 178 feet between the end of this pier and where this would be, and that's very sufficient to navigate through. That's true if you're in good conditions and you're underway with full power. This is the major repair facility of marine boats in Urbana. They've got a travel lift slip right here, and Mr. Heron at Catman Cats also services large boats alongside there. There are vessels that are brought in that are not fully under power. They're either partially under power or they're being towed. And you get a great deal of prevailing wind. I'm a boater, and I'm in and out of this creek all the time, up and down this creek. And it is extremely difficult to navigate a boat that is not fully under power and under control through an area that small with the prevailing winds that we have in there. You know, there's been much discussion about what's been already permitted. I would just say on behalf of my clients, they were not given written notification of the prior hearing as adjoining landowners. That was discussed with Mr. Nykirk after the fact. They realized there's nothing they can do about that now. But the fact it was, this was not, would not have been unopposed had they been properly notified. Let's see. The other effect this would have on Rappahannock Associates is it would potentially block any expansion that they would have of their facilities out of this area. That's really the only way they would have to do any expansion would be to come out and do something off the end of this pier, and potentially that would make the situation even worse if this pier is built as proposed. The changes to the boathouses, we're not completely sure what changes they're proposing. Some of the drawings we've seen look like the slips will stick out further than the existing boathouse. I think that they should be allowed. My client said, you know, he didn't object to their building the distance out from that his boathouses are, but he didn't think that anything that is permitted should be allowed to extend out beyond the distance of his boathouse, because as they say, it is a very tight space in there. One other issue is that what is allowed to tie up at the T-heads of these docks should be governed as well. You know, right now, Mr. Mullins has a 80-foot, some foot, 85-foot long barge sticking out here that's moored, and he says he has a complete right to have it there, and it's a floating thing, and if he ties it alongside, he can tie it alongside anywhere he wants. Well, if he ties an 85-foot barge either lengthwise or this way out there, it's going to cause a terrible problem. And certainly you ought to be able to moor a reasonable boat along the end of it, but there needs, even down in these, there needs to be some way of governing what's moored, especially if you allow this. He says, well, that's 30 feet from the channel down here, but you know, if you put a 40-foot wide boat in there, you're in the channel. So I think that these are all considerations that need to be taken into effect, into consideration when you craft the permits. We're not trying to say that the man can't make reasonable use of his property. We're not saying that he can't renovate the facilities, you know, put in some more slips for a reasonable amount, but to allow this huge use of the creek is basically expropriating part of the public trust for their private gain and their private use. Granted, they're going to be leasing them out, but it's still their private use as opposed to the other citizens. And I'm going to leave the rest of my time for everyone else. I know there's going to be a lot of comment on this, and I think you understand the concerns that my clients have.
Thank you, Counsel. Any questions? Mr. Robbins.
Mr. Chairman, just one question, if I may, of Counsel, and that is, looking through the drawings, the plan drawing 2-1 that we have indicates that the G-dock, which is in the location of the existing boathouse, does in fact represent additional channelward encroachment into that basin. And that your opposition is to any expansion channelward of the existing roof of the boathouse?
As Mr. Watson has said, it's 110 feet when you measure it across there, and it sounds like a lot of space until you start maneuvering a 60-foot boat in it, and then it's woefully, you know, it's small. And it's what's there. It's the way it was built. We can't do anything about that right now, but we do think that any expansion in there would create additional safety hazards for boats coming and going out of there, especially if you have two boats coming and going at once.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Who's next?
Oh, I have one question.
I'm sorry, Mr.
The boathouse that's adjoining the one that they want to tear down, what size slips? Yeah, that. What size slips are in those?
I have Mr. Smith here. He's one of the owners.
43 feet
long. About how wide, do you know?
Probably 15, 16.
15 to 16 feet wide, 45 feet long.
Mr. Tanker?
Rappahannock River Associates, what kind of employer are they in Urbana, size, scope, et cetera?
They own this facility, and you own others as well. One of the principals owns another marine, at least one marina in Deltaville. Rappahannock Associates generally leases out, I believe, the repair facility and the construction facility up here that is run by Catman Katz. Catman Katz currently has two catamarans under construction. Do you have any idea how many?
Counselor, if we're going to convey the message, he's got to be
I'll allow him to address those issues.
Perfect.
If you'd like him.
Thank you very much, sir. Those who are going to wish to speak in opposition, will you rise, please? It's going to be everybody because I'm going to swear once, okay? Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Amen. Thank you. Who's next? Good morning, sir.
My name is Buddy Weicker. I'd like to move my display a little closer for you.
We can pass them back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to voice some concerns on the Mammoth Marina project that is listed as VMRC 08-1123, Urbana Yachting Center, and submitted by Potomac Timbers Investments 227 LLC. As I stated, my name is Buddy Weicker. My wife, Bobby, who just handed you a handout, we live at Overlook. Just to give you a perspective of what Urbana looks like, these are some of the pictures in our town. It is a historic town. This is our home here, Overlook. Just want you to take a look at that. The original part of Overlook was built in 1885 and is located and listed in the historic Urbana District. We are adjacent property owners to the Urbana Yachting Center, which is also in the historical district. That's important. I'm speaking to you this morning not only as an adjacent property owner, but also as chairman of the Urbana Citizens Committee, for which I did not volunteer for. I was asked to serve, and I agreed to do so. For the record, I am not an attorney, nor am I proficient in building marinas, but I have been fooling with them all of my life. I am a 75-year-old, semi-retired volunteer, and I've been working and boating on Urbana Creek since 1943, perhaps before many of you in this room were born. Our committee, the Urbana Citizens Committee, consists of 209 homes, not people, 209 homes. And yes, some of them do not live in the town of Urbana. They're not all in the town limits. Some of them are in the surrounding area around Urbana Creek. And some are boat owners who dock their boats on the creek and also pay town and county taxes. Now, I can say to you this morning that a large majority of the people are very much opposed to this project, which is evidenced by the many letters that you and your commission have received. Now, copies of these letters were also went to the Middlesex County Wetlands Boards and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. To my knowledge, all of these letters were in opposition to Project 2008-11-23. Now, Mr. Chairman, I have, as you do, in front of you, the aforementioned letters with me. If you wish, I will be glad to read these letters into the record. However, I'm certain that as you have these letters, that they're already in the record. I can assume that. So in consideration of time, what's your pleasure?
They're part of the record, yes, sir.
Thank you. The town is well represented here this morning. Some of our senior citizens were concerned about the forecast of inclement weather and their younger citizens not present because they cannot afford to miss a day from work. Now, I would like to ask the people who are opposed to this project to stand.
Please do.
Thank you. I appreciate all of you taking time out of your busy schedules to be here today. Now, members of the commission, I know that it can become boring to listen to some of the same things being repeated, and I'm trying not to repeat anything. But you have to remember that our efforts here today are coming from citizens who truly care about their small town and its heart and soul we call Urbana Creek. We, the citizens, are interested in preserving our town's historic heritage and the amenities that the creek offers citizens now, but not only now, but will hopefully offer our future generations. We citizens are not against, and I'm going to repeat that, hopefully everybody will hear me, we citizens are not against growth or development as long as our town and creek guidelines are followed. Now, as you know, this project far exceeds the town and the state regulations. Before closing my remarks, I was missing one more thing. With several revisions to the plan for the new docks at the Urbana Yachting Center, the scope and the size it grew each time, and now it was 78, 86, 102, now 139, now it's coming down a little bit. Now, the drawing... You've seen the aerial view, here it is, come into Urbana, and yes, I agree with the young man that really does like to see this aerial view, this view as he drives across that creek. He loves this boathouse and all the boats sitting around. We're talking about getting rid of most of this, so that won't be there anymore. This full-page ad is what was appeared in the Southside Circle, and that was on May 8, 2008. And from this ad, paid for by Potomac Timbers, I assume, we kind of blew it up, which was kind of useless because you've already seen this. But this is what they're trying to do to at the end of the creek.
Can you put that slide back up? That's the one I wanted to see also, Chip, please.
Yes. This one?
No, he's going to put it on the overhead for me. The waterfront one that he just showed, the ground level with your artist with the conception of what it would look like.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can
you move that? One of the first ones. That one.
Yeah. Now this area has been amended down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's been pulling up, 9 feet, I think. Nine feet. Can you see that? Some of the reasons to justify the opposition in these pictures, the docks create difficult blind corners. We've talked about this a little bit when you're turning the channel in this area right here.
right here. This is what we were talking about a while ago, and I think someone asked the question, why are we measuring from here across here when this is the area that you, that actually the channel coming under the bridge and you go out?
The plan would drastically reduce the boating area within a protected harbor. It's true that we don't have southern states anymore, and we don't have the barges that used to come in, but we do have pretty large boats come in and out of that creek, and they do have to turn around. They have to turn around.
They can't go anywhere else. They've got to turn around in this basin here, and yes, there's deep enough water here for them to do it. This is a marker. This green mark 11 was put there for a reason. It's to give people an opportunity to anchor on the other side of those green markers. It doesn't mean that it's a channel. This is deep over here, this is deep here, so people can anchor there. That's the purpose of the green marker. But when you measure one-third of the distance across the creek, you don't measure from here to here.
As the attorney just spoke, the access for the boaters to Port Urbana and the Urbana Bridge Marina would be greatly diminished. And I won't elaborate on that anymore. Briefly, they spoke about Christ Church School in that letter. Yes, I've talked to the headmaster over there. And yes, he did write a nice letter because he didn't want to seem to be in too much opposition, and he didn't want to seem to propose it either because of the situation of the school being in the area. However,
when I live at this point right here, I watch the crew teams, and believe you me, they are not going to be able to come down and make a turn here to come up the bridge and go up into the creek. It's amazing how well they do this, but they have to actually slow down if they're rowing in order to make that turn. Point made.
All right. The most important point I want to make, I hope you all will listen. The project is within the town of Urbana's jurisdiction. The town limits were set when the Virginia General Assembly chartered the town in 1902. And the town has not, and I repeat, has not approved this project. Should these 139 boat slips be built, or whatever the number ends up, where will the boaters park when they come to the marina? And if the developers should get their permits to build the 14 condos on this 1.47 acres, which is adjacent to
a dead-end street. Why is that? That is a dead-end street. These are the condos that are going in if they get approved.
Gentlemen, it's beyond me to imagine what's going to happen. Where will the cars be parked?
Take a quick second, and then I'll shut up and sit down. The old man will go back to her back. This, as Mr. Watson has stated, is a full-service marina. They haul boats. They have a travel lift. The travel lift is located in this area right here. The travel lift has to have space to move. It has to have some place to put the boat when it comes out of the water. If he builds those condos like he plans, and if the travel lift is going to come in here, where's it going? How can it turn around? It can't move past that building. He's got all of this listed back here as parking. Where are the boats going to be? Where are the cars going to park back there for all of these slips and these condos? This gives you a little bit. In the wintertime, these pictures were just taken. recently. This is the marina right here, and they use it for storage in the wintertime. The whole area is covered with boats right now. So what would they do with those boats if they had the condos in there? Same thing here. This is in front of my home here. Here's the travel lift right here. You can see it's got boat storage in here. This is also the work area where Andy hauls the boats, pulls them out, paints the bottom, and whatever maintenance is needed.
Sir, can you please wrap up for me, please?
I'm wrapping up.
Thank
right
you.
One more minute. All right, summertime. Where's the traffic? Where's it going to park? Here we are again. Here's a boat coming in on a tractor trailer to be unloaded. How are they going to do that? Can't do it. Same here. These are boaters that come down and park. This is a parking area for the boaters. This is supposed to be the work area for the boats. This is in June of 07 on just a regular Saturday afternoon. That is the parking. Get the point.
Got the point.
Okay.
Thank you. The chair is going to rule that this gentleman and the council have spoken for the town. I'll give the other people that would like to speak 2 minutes apiece, but I have to be cognizant and fair to the applicant as well, and I want to make sure that this is a fair hearing. So therefore, the next people to speak, be 2 minutes. Please make it brief, and then we're going to wrap this case up and make a decision.
May I just have one closing remark here? Please.
Yes, sir.
I am representing a lot of people. Speaking for the Urbana Citizens Committee, sir, we respectfully request that you deny this request by Potomac Timber Investment 227. Also, we also request that you rescind the previous permit issued in 2006 to the then owner, James Scott. To my knowledge, the town was not involved nor was some of the adjacent property owners.
To answer your question, number one, your request is granted as far as what you want us to do. Number two, we have no authority under law to rescind the permit at this time. Have to be undertaken through a court action.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you for your very, very good presentation. Who's next? 2 minutes apiece. Yep, all the poster boards and everything that was left here or presented has to stay here for 33 days. Yes, sir. Your name, please?
William Smith.
Please proceed.
I'm Jack's partner at the Rappahannock Associates. We've been partners since 96. And we bought the marina, and we've turned it into really a working marina. We have the work slip. We have a restaurant. We have the boat building business. We have in the apartment up on the street. The problem we see is this development, and you know, Jack Dozier is certainly not against development. But it's almost like the McMansions that have been going up across the country, where you have a piece of property, next thing there's a three-story house from one side of the property to the other. We're just a little worried about the constrictions on the waterway. We just went through this. That barge that's sticking out in the middle of the creek right now from Mr. Watson's was actually at a dock behind our A dock. For some reason, restricted our – we have 45 to 60-foot slips. They constricted it to the point that we couldn't even rent some of the slips. So we've been through that. So what we see is just the coming in the creek. It's always been, I've been there for 20 years. It's always been a creek that's open. You can come in the middle of the night. When you come down the creek, you can see the lights to go through the bridge. And I just see it as just constricting the waterway.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Who's next? Come forward, sir. And the person behind him can come up behind him, and we'll hear from you next.
My name is Bob Calvis. I live in Urbana. I have a boat that I keep on the harbor, but not at this marina. When I first came to Urbana, I had my boat in the next to last slip, right there, my hand steady. I used to spend a lot of time on the boat. I loved to watch the crew teams from Christ Church. They launch up in this area, and they come up and down here, but when the weather's bad, they go under the bridge, and they practice up the creek where there's less wave action. These rowing shells, some of them have four rowers in them. They are, I don't know, 60, 70 feet long and only about that wide. They don't turn very easily at all. Mr. Watson mentioned that the crew coach was out there watching over them. Well, the crew coach, he might have several shells working in and around the creek, and he might be way up here while other shells are down in this area. He can't be at all the shells, racing shells at a time. I have seen these shells try and make this turn and go under the bridge while power boats outboards come out through here. This is, even as it is, it's a tight turn. There should be nothing that would restrict that turn, in my belief. I will remind you that there is a public boat launching ramp up the creek, up this way, so there's a lot of boat traffic there, outboards. I ask that you simply deny this. For one thing, we don't even know. I understand it was changed this morning, another 9 feet or something. The public has not even had the opportunity, the legal opportunity to review the latest plans. I request that you deny this application. Thank you, sir.
Who's next? Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, distinguished members of the Commission, my name is Lewis Filling, and I am the Chief Executive Officer of the Town of Urbana. I come before you today to oppose this application and to express my concerns and the concerns of the citizens of the small town of Urbana regarding the applicant's request to expand its marina facility located within the town limits. The town of Urbana is a small, quaint town located off the Rappahannock River with approximately 570 residents. It is one of the 20 original port towns created in 1680 by an act of the Assembly at Jamestown and has a long history of commercial and recreational water-related activities within its jurisdictional boundaries. The town of Urbana encompasses an area of approximately one-half of a square mile, and its boundaries extend to the middle of the channel of Urbana Creek. As such, all the applicant's proposed expansion is within the jurisdictional limits of the town of Urbana. The marina, which is the subject matter of this hearing, is located at the end of Watling Street, a dead-end street with very limited access and parking. The area that encompasses this marina is also the subject of litigation in the Circuit Court of Middlesex County regarding a zoning matter, whereby this applicant seeks to construct 14 residential condominium units in addition to the existing marina and the maintenance service facilities. Total land area for all these proposed uses is approximately 1.42 acres. The town zoning ordinance requires, like most jurisdictions, that all of the proposed uses provide for a certain number of parking spaces. As I have previously stated, Watling Street is a dead-end street with limited parking places. The total number of parking spaces required by the town of Urbana for the slip holders, the marina office facility, the repair and maintenance facility, the proposed condominium units, the additional employees, which I heard a number of 50 today, exceeds the space available on the applicant's property. The proposed expansion is of such a magnitude and a substantial change in the existing use that our zoning ordinance requires that the applicant to meet all of the existing zoning requirements, including without limitation the total number of parking spaces. Our zoning ordinance requires one parking space for every 300 square feet of use for this marina area. Since the proposed boat slips vary in size, some slips may require multiple parking spaces under code. However, since the applicant has failed to make application with the town of Urbana for this expanded marina facility, it is impossible for me to testify today as to the exact number of parking spaces required for this marina expansion. Please remember that the total number of parking spaces must be sufficient in order to meet all the uses of this property and not just the proposed marina use. I would ask that you carefully examine the area of the proposed marina expansion will occupy in Urbana Creek. While our We're going to skip some of that. Quite frankly, the size of this expansion is not consistent with the surrounding area. The mayor and members of the council for the town of Urbana respectfully request that you respect our concurrent jurisdiction and deny the application before you today. The town does not have the resources to support the massive size of this proposed expansion, which will create an undue hardship on the residents of the town. The applicant has made no attempt to provide the number of parking spaces
so
necessary.
So parking spaces, in all due respect, I've let that go by a couple times. Those are upland issues that this commission has absolutely no jurisdiction over. I understand where you're coming from, but we don't have anything to do with that one. Thank you.
Okay. The size and location of the expanded area will adversely impact on the local recreational and commercial uses of the creek and will affect the navigation of the creek. I thank you for your time. You send it to me to hear the concerns of the citizens of Urbana on this application.
Thank you very much, sir. Anyone else in opposition? All right, sir. How many others are going to speak in opposition? Please stand. And also, after this gentleman, if you'd come up here, if you'd get in line so I don't have to ask, and I really would like to move this along. Sir, could you come up, please? Proceed, sir.
My name is Robert Montague. I am here as a resident and property owner of creek frontage in the town of Urbana. My family has owned property there for four generations. And part of my property includes a small boat storage facility just a few yards from this one. My primary concern is the extent to which navigation of the creek will be impeded by allowing the proposed docks to extend out into the creek. I am a boater there myself and often use a sailboat without power. Right. And that is when I feel most threatened by obstructions in the creek, personally. But I feel that this whole project, the condos and the docks combined, is much too much for the site, and that the basic problem is that the developer has overpaid for the property when they bought it, which is not the fault of the citizens of the town, but that is what they're trying to bail themselves out from, and they are doing it potentially at the expense of all the rest of us who live in and try to enjoy Urbana, as I have for 75 years myself. And so I am joining in the effort of the town to try to get this thing under control, because it is way beyond what this town should be asked to tolerate. We are not against development. We are totally devoted to our waterfront and making good use of it and not destroying it with too much, which is basically what this is, both on the water and on the land. It is much too much for the site.
Thank you, sir. Sir, come forward. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're quite welcome.
Just to point the...
State your name, please.
I'm sorry. My name is Clyde Roper. I'm a resident and landowner in the community across the creek. This is called Urbana Harbor, and you can see there are a lot of docks down there. And just a point of clarification that I think Mr. Watson made earlier is that this dock facility has been approved for a huge expansion. That is not the case. That was soundly rejected by the dock owners not to go into a huge floating dock assessment. So that can no longer be used as an argument in his
favor. Thank you.
I have a couple of bullets. First of all, I'm a marine biologist and a natural history person, so I'm going to make a few comments about that because they haven't been mentioned yet. One is that the huge area covered by the dock, proposed docks, is going to, and because they are floating docks, is going to seriously affect the water flow that comes through there. And as you know, it's not a really deep creek. So when you restrict flow, it's already a restricted flow. It is not good for the habitat and for the organisms that live there, both on the surface of the bottom and the what we call the infauna, the organisms that live in the bottom. These organisms, by the way, are responsible for supporting the kinds of organisms that we like to go out and catch, either crabs and fishes and this sort of thing. So that is a serious encroachment and impact to to impact the flow, but it also, with the floating docks, it impacts the amount of light which the bottom receives. So again, that is, and I believe this is part of the Chesapeake Bay Act that we have to consider as we go into this, that restricts the development of the grasses, natural grasses, and so forth. It also, we mentioned ospreys and especially the bald eagles will feed out there. We've just seen six bald eagles in the last 2 weeks, and they feed in the river or in the creek. So by reducing that area by so much, it is detrimental to the to these feeding birds, eagles and ospreys. I am, of course, very concerned about the encroachment as far as the navigation goes. About the calculation of the one-third of width coming out, and these come out one-third based from the distance from the edge of the creek. But when you consider that there is docks and slips that come out further, that should at least be, because there's no navigable water beyond right. where the boat. So that's something I'd like you to consider as well, please. Christchurch School, we've mentioned that, but these boats, they've got 16-foot oars on each side. Sometimes they're side by side with each other, as well as the coach's craft. So that is another factor. It's not just one shell that's going by. I'm sure you take into account, you have a biologist here on the council? Yes, so you will please take into account the biological effects of this, because they can be significant for that huge amount of area. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I'm Don Richwine. I'm a citizen of the town of Urbana. I worked with the Division of Water Resources, the State Water Control Board, and the Department of Environmental Quality in my working career, and I'm a comeback Urbana. I went back to Urbana in 1991 and retired. First of all, let me thank you for your indulgence.
Pleasure, sir.
I'd like to touch on one other thing. I think the ends impeding on the marina on either side have been pretty well discussed and hashed out. And I believe that they have an approved permit for a 102 boat slip marina. They question that maybe it's 109. I think 102 is too much. But anyway, I was pleased to see the staff's recommendation. So I'm not so much against this as a little bit of both, but any more than 102 slips or 102 boats is too much. Think about the other issue here besides the distance across the creek, which has been talked about, in water quality. Every additional boat contributes something to water quality degradation. You can't stop it. You don't have the laws and the police power to go on boats and check their pump out to see if they're doing the job. And we know it's violated. And I think it's a little prophetic that at this very moment, Governor Kane and some of the Chesapeake Bay Study Group are meeting to talk about the preservation of the bay. And I heard the word stewardship and trust mentioned earlier. So please take it seriously and make a good decision.
Thank you very much, sir.
Mr. Watson, you have 5 minutes to rebut, wrap it up, and the matter will be before the commission.
Mr. Chairman, commissioners, I will first start off with rebuttal on Mr. Weichert's statements about where will the boats be with the travel lift. Travel lift is kept strictly as a peace of mind item for our boaters and slip holders. Are we going to actively have a yard when this is done? Absolutely not. Okay. Are we going to store boats on the hard? No. We're yielding to the change in highest and best use, and we're having it as you would have if you had a boat in the slip and you said, gosh, I just broke a through hull, my boat's sinking, what am I going to do? Bring it over the travel lift, we'll pull you out. It's going to be very minimal maintenance and emergencies as well. I'm a boat owner, and that's my plan. In terms of, there won't be any storage on the hard in the future. We don't have the space. I agree. With Mr. Calvis's remarks about the crew team, I watch them all the time. They seem to do very well. A lot of comments have been made about the barge that I purchased that's out in the creek in line with the slips. They maneuver very well about that, and that sticks out 90 feet, okay? So it's well marked, and they've done fine. There have been no issues. Again, I suggest to you the letter by Christ Church was a soft one. It wasn't a complaint. With regard to Mr. Montague's questions about, and I respect the fact that his family has owned property in Urbana for four generations and lives in Urbana. In terms of a few yards from our project, Mr. Montague's property, in all fairness, is on the other side of Payne's Crab House, well beyond the hotel and almost out, you know, on the way out up near the town dock in that vicinity. So a few yards is, a questionable number in my mind. With regard to Clyde Roper's statements about my statement about approval across the way, I was speaking specifically about you gentlemen's approval, VMRC, not about the unapproval of the slip holders when they got a letter stating they were going to all be assessed for $25,000 to implement your permit, subject to the slight revision that is all that's required to get that permit going. I feel like that we have, I pegged one thing. Mr. Weichert stated that our plan doesn't show adequate anything. This idea has one ingress egress on a dead-end street. This is parking underneath the buildings. Okay? So we have 78 parking places that have been engineered that are legal parking places. Not the ones that people normally park in the marina, which you can park a lot of cars. We have 78 if you look at the normal size of the parking. And yes, we are concerned about parking for our slip holders. If we get 10% show up of our slip holders on a good day, you've got a big turnout. That's one thing as an owner that's been a big surprise to me. In talking to other marina owners, they say the same thing. You know, hey, once the novelty wears off, they don't show up like they used to. There's a cycle. One guy comes, one guy goes. So, with regard to the town having control over who gets a permit and that they've got a rule, Middlesex County doesn't agree with that. I paid the fees and got the permit issued back in September, and that's why the barge and the crane is there, and we expect to go forward with it. I cleared it with Mr. Nykirk before I applied for this that we in no way jeopardize our existing permit by coming before you to ask for revisions. After speaking with Army Corps of Engineers and talking, and they've telling me that, in their opinion, it was a very safe, very well-done plan, I ask you for your honest consideration. Urbana is dying financially. Unfortunately, we're all growing older. The average age in Urbana, I'm not a statistician, is probably over 70. You know, hey, go come see for yourself. Come see for yourself. I'll just say, you know, I'm 55, okay? And I'm one of the youngest people running around the town, okay? That's all of what it is. Okay.
Order.
Okay. All right. Gentlemen, we need the floating docks. I feel like that we have made honest concessions in regard to pulling it in 90 feet from an application in June. We're asking for an extension to the south of 40 feet. That entire transient element has been wiped out by the staff. That means that my partner and I just contracted
wrap up.
To buy a courtesy car for the marina. In our ads in the cruising guide, it states courtesy car and the docks will be put in 2009. We are spending thousands of dollars to promote the town and our facility. When they come in, just as last night, when I had three guys come in, they stayed with us, okay, but they went into town and ate dinner. That's January, and it is what it is. But, you know, so I think that we offer a big benefit to the town, and, yes, we are business people. We're trying to survive. And so I respectfully ask you to come together and figure out what we can do to make this work. We want floating docks. The property is in big disrepair. We need your guidance on what we can do. We need the south end of the element. With regard to the attorney...
Your time is up, sir. Thank you very much.
The distance, he said, was not the right one.
I have one question.
Question, though. Yes. Mr. Chick.
I just want to make one thing clear, because this is a sensitive issue for me and my marina. You are aware that at the whim of the Army Corps of Engineers... that inside that federal project area, they can ask you to remove and eliminate your slips. That means if people complain and they lobby the Army Corps of Engineers and the people who are there now leave and new ones come in,
right,
and they see it as a navigation hazard,
right,
that you have to do it at your expense,
right,
with virtually no recourse.
Well, and Mr. Check, I appreciate your comments. Mr. Henderson stated that that was the case in the previous permit as well, with regard to dredging, not with regard to just someone's whim, but dredging. If it was deemed that it was dredging and necessary, that we would have to bear the cost. Right. And because they're floating and you can disconnect them fairly easy, I agree to, you know.
But I just want you to understand that, that the VMRC has absolutely no, bearing on what the Army Corps may do in the future.
I understand.
Even though that we may or may not issue a permit.
I appreciate you,
okay,
your comments.
He didn't charge you for that advice.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I understand. I've heard about your consequences on Colonial Beach. Thank you.
And he's forgotten about it, too, as you can tell. The matter's before the Commission for Discussion, Deliberation, and Action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think redevelopment clearly has its benefits, and we've heard some of that today. We heard about the economic benefits that would be associated with the project. We heard about the improved access with the floating docks associated with the project. But at bottom, I think this issue really raises a question about the impacts of the project on other reasonable uses of the waterway. And we heard quite a bit of testimony about the uses that are contemporary in that area. And it seems that the rowing crews are in there using the area. While the barges are no longer transiting the area, there is still substantial recreational use of the area, and I think the scale of the project would impinge on that. And I think our staff has done a nice job of trying to address some of those concerns. I think some additional constraints, though, might be in order on the project. I'm concerned about GDOC rather, which was not included as a condition in the staff conditions. GDOC is the one under the currently under a covered boathouse, and as proposed, that would actually result additional channelward encroachment in that small basin. And I would think that should not be allowed to encroach any further than the current boathouse does in that same spot. Furthermore, I'm concerned about FDOC. I think the dock that's already permitted will represent a significant constraint on the use of the adjacent marina at the north end of the project. So I think staff's right to recommend that we not allow the FDOC to encroach any further. Furthermore, I would think that we would prohibit any mooring of vessels on the outboard side of FDOC to ensure that that's not an unreasonable encroachment on the area and adjacent uses of the property. One of the docks that was in the staff recommendation is actually slightly channelward of the existing permit. I think that's the C dock. I don't know if you could put that slide back up, Chip, if we could look at that. I would think that it might be appropriate to restrict the length of that dock to the existing permitted length.
Let's see where I got that. That's I believe this is C-Doc here.
Chip, I believe you had a drawing that was in blue and yellow,
okay,
that showed the modifications that staff was recommending. And you had a red hash mark right there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that C-Doc that bears the red hash mark?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so if we stuck
actually,
with the red...
No, that's D-Doc.
D-Doc, okay. So if D-Doc were restricted to the red hash mark, there wouldn't be any additional channelward encroachment.
That's beyond correct. The red permit. Red represents what was previously approved.
Right. Thanks.
Mr. Schick?
I concur with Mr. Robbins' concerns on several issues. I do believe GDOC needs to be restricted to the existing footprint. I look at FDOC, and if we could, I guess there's four slips at the end that would bring it back within about where the permitted area, previously permitted area is. I think CDOT or DDOT, I don't have a problem with the extent of DDOT or the extent of EDOT. CDOT, I do think probably the last four slips need to be eliminated off that, in my opinion. In the last two slips, I do think that ADOC, or I guess what is BDOC, needs to be shortened some too, and also reversed, so you won't have a problem with boats mooring on the channel side. If you reverse so that the boats can exit to the channel, you wouldn't have the problem with any boats mooring up next to it, interfering with the channel going underneath the bridge. I do know a little bit about marinas. That's what I do. The economies of scales and the cost in production of marinas today are so exorbitant. You can't afford to build the marina for 45 to 60 foot slips unless you build it large enough. It doesn't pay. You've got to be able to have enough revenue to make it exist. We need slips like this. This is a design for 21st century boats, replacing a design that was 20th century. Boats are wider, they're longer, and they need a place to dock. There's plenty of water for them to dock there, deep enough. And I think that I appreciate staff's wanting to reduce the scope. I think they're right in doing so. I think maybe they might have gone a little farther than that I would like to see. This facility is a great place for this type of construction, and I'd like to see the probably elimination of 10 slips, giving them 128 slips.
Put in form of a motion.
And I'd put that in form of a motion.
Question. What were you proposing to do with ADOC down there?
Well, the way the ADOC is now is the slips, to exit the slips, you actually go, I guess that's, is that north. Or up? Allowing boats to moor on the outside, on the channel side, which could interfere with, depending on how wide they are. So if that were reversed, so the slips would be accessible from the channel as opposed from the interior of the marina, from the south or from the below. That way, if they have temporary boating on the outside of the main walkway, it's restricted. It's within their own footprint. Plus, it needs to be shortened a little bit more, I think, to allow for ease of access around that corner. So I do put that in a motion that we reduce it to 128 slips, and basically I have these restrictions. GDOC would not extend anything any further beyond its existing footprint. FDOC would not extend beyond the 2006 permit. ADOC would be reduced by four slips, as shown on the drawing provided by the applicant today. And the slips would be accessible from the channel side, which would be reversed of the way it shows on this dock. CDOC would not be expanded past DDOC, which I believe is the elimination of four slips, which is a total reduction of 10 slips to 128 slips. The width of these slips are imperative to the success of this marina. So to limit the length of the slips and say you can build as many slips in there as you want is essentially killing the project. So if you're going to build 45, 55, and 60-foot slips, they've got to be wide enough. So
Further comment, Dr. McCock? I'm sorry.
That was a motion.
Seconded by Mr. Holland. Further discussion at this point, Dr. McConaughey, then Mr. Schick, then
yeah, my colleague. In this motion, I'm not clear, would VDOC be included as shown up there?
VDOC is the one that... I'm sorry, I said ADOC. That actually is BDOC.
Oh, okay.
So
ADOC would stay the same.
No, this is BDOC here. This is ADOC. This is BDOC. BDOC, the one that goes parallel to the channel, is what I was saying would be reduced by four slips, and the entrance to the slips would be reversed from the channel. So that is BDOC.
That's the bottom one on this drawing?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I call that A.
Yeah.
But, okay. John, you had to say something.
No, that makes it clearer to me as to what was going on. So that would remove some of the obstruction going around the corner.
Around the corner, and also any additional obstruction that may be docked parallel to the channel.
Right.
Mr. Fox, you had further?
Yes, I'm not in agreement with whatever the bottom dock is, whether it's A or B, but I'm calling it A. It seems to me that that dock is clearly a hindrance to navigation, making that turn and so on. And so I'm opposed to any dock on that end. And if B dock is the second one up, I'm opposed to the length that it's depicted on this drawing, and I would keep it to the green dotted line, which would put it in line with the already permitted docks on, I guess, C and D. So if you want a picture of what I would propose, something like that.
Questions on the table at the present time?
I understand that.
Okay.
But just commenting that I think the motion that's on the table is a little larger than I would like to see.
Understood.
I would be opposed to the motion that's on the table.
Understood. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would concur with Mr. Fox, and I appreciate the maker of the motion's concern about the number of slips. I think, though, the overarching conflict here relates to other uses of the waterway, and I think that the primary concern there should be the length and the length of the docks, the magnitude of the encroachment, and we ought to control for that and allow the developer to put in the number of slips that he wants to within that footprint. I guess I'm more comfortable with staff's recommendation. I share the concern about the southern end of the project. I think when you consider that there are 50 and 60 foot rowing shells going through here on a regular basis, that it's more appropriate to have a wider open fairway. Obviously, their use of the area is not going to be limited exclusively to the channel. I think it's more appropriate to go with the staff recommendation. I would offer a substitute that we accept staff recommendation with several modifications. One, that the G dock shall not extend channel route to the existing boathouse. There be no mooring at the end of F dock, and restrict DDOC to the existing permit length.
Is there a second to that motion? Second by Mr. Tankard. Discussion on the substitute motion. Mr. Schick.
Basically, you're telling this gentleman that he's got to go back to the 79 slips. We granted him 102 slips before. The proposal that I had put forward does not encroach beyond our recommended distance into the waterway, and I don't think it's right to tell a person, yes, you know, we like the fact that you're building a 21st century marina, but you know, we're going to make it so you can't afford to do it. He should at least be able to have 102 slips that are appropriate for the future of boating, which is what he came in with. It's not fair for him to leave with less slips and wider slips. There's plenty of water out there. You're talking about between the buoy and the existing, where he wants to have was 173 feet. If we reduce it by four slips, you're talking about adding another, 60-some feet. That's 200 feet between the green marker and the corner of his dock. That's plenty of room. And I do appreciate people are used to having things a certain way, but, you know, that's not the way things are going to be in the future. We can't continually say, you know, just because it's been that way for 400 years or 100 years or 50 years, we're going to continue to do this. We have to build marinas for the future. To build a marina in last decades or last two decades conception is going to just provide the service that's not going to be utilized. So I really think that there's plenty of room to come around that corner. It's a no-wake zone. 200 feet is plenty of room to make that corner. Plus, the navigation beyond the green, there is plenty of room there to do that. It's deep water for power boats, for whatever needs to do. So I just really feel that we're cutting his hamstring here by making him walk away with less than he had when he came in here.
Well, Mr. Fox.
Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that what's already permitted, if that is 102 slips, and I will allow that it is, what staff is proposing is more space than that. I don't know how many slips, but it's more than what he came in already permitted for. And so I guess I'm not at all troubled by that addition, and so we're not taking anything away from him that he already has authorized. We are in fact adding.
Mr. Robbins,
excuse me, but I don't believe so. If we could have a clarification, the recommendations were to bring it back to the approved permitted print foot.
What was approved in 2006 is essentially this pier here, this pier here, and this pier out to the red mark. This would be a new pier down here still.
But it's still in the existing footprint of the 2006 permit.
No, 2006 is this pier, and this pier, and then this, there wasn't any work going on down here at all. So this would be an additional pier down here.
That staff approved.
That we were recommending.
Recommend.
For.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for that clarification, Chip. Just, I think it is clear this does still represent an expansion over what was originally permitted, and I think the recommendations of staff better mitigate the impacts to the competing uses of the waterway.
Mr. Tiger,
and I also think we have to take into account the testimony of the folks who are Urbana who boat and use this area, and they have overwhelmingly demonstrated that they believe the current proposed marina is an obstruction to their right to use the waterway.
Okay. Thank you. For the record, when determining whether to grant or deny any permit for the use of state-owned bottom lands, the Commission shall be guided in its deliberations by the provisions of Article 11, Section 1 of the Constitution of Virginia. In addition to other factors, the Commission shall also consider the public and private benefits of the proposed project and shall exercise its authority under this section consistent with the public trust doctrine as defined by the common law of the Commonwealth adopted pursuant to 1-200 in order to protect and safeguard the public right to the use and enjoyment of the subaqueous lands of the Commonwealth held in trust for it to the benefit of the people as confirmed by the public trust doctrine of the Constitution of Virginia. The Commission shall also order the project's effect on the following.
I honestly believe at this juncture that staff's recommendations do a lot to take into consideration the needs of the marina builder. I'm also very, very concerned, having spent some time in Urbana Creek along that area, and all due respect to my colleague, Mr. Schick, and I mean that because he is a lot savvier and a lot more knowledgeable in the construction of marinas. My concern is the impact of increased boating traffic in this area, as well as the water quality aspect, because we've had water quality discussions when we were discussing down here. If I'm not so certain, if my memory serves me right, the gentleman spoke on water quality, the biologist, is he here?
Yes.
Did you speak at that project as well?
Yes, sir.
Thought you did. So when we were talking about condemnation and how waterways were getting to the point where, you know, getting bad and putting more boats in there was not going to make things better,
I'm going to support the modified staff recommendations because I do believe that it does give this gentleman the opportunity to develop and yet does not overload the current water stem that's already in there, which I don't know how much more it can take. That's my position. Matters before the commission for a vote on the substitute motion, which deals with accepting staff regulations with modifications. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
Raise your hands, please. Two opposed. Thank you very much, and thank you, everyone, for a very good presentation. Next.